Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live from the Mellow Mushroom on Broadway, just next to Bridgestone Arena. The SEC tournament going to get underway here in just a couple of hours. And really looking forward to that. Vanderbilt will tip off around 2:30 today. Pre-game coverage at 2 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, the game, as they will take on Texas. And we're excited to be here. We'll be downtown for the rest of the week. And all of our SEC men's basketball tournament coverage is presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. And also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV. Let's talk about this. There's been a lot of guys. We're going to preview the SEC tournament in a little bit. But I just saw this tweet from Terry McCormick from Titan Insider. Basically saying that the Titans offered NWI and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine a comparable offer to what the Dolphins did, but ultimately he decided to go with the Dolphins instead. What does that say about a guy that has been praised, has been steady Eddie? You know, TD called him a Honda Civic, just always reliable.
Right.
That he's like, nah, I'm out. I appreciate you.
All right. So two things here. One thing, playing football, you want to make the most money as you can, right?
Sure.
That's your goal is.
He's making $3 million.
Right?
Right.
What's the second goal of being a professional football player?
Winning.
Yeah. Winning a Super Bowl. Nothing else matters, but winning a Super Bowl. You're going to get there. Money's the same. You're going to get there in Nashville or Miami. And I think the answer is very evident. Go where you think you could win. You're getting paid. Go where you think you could win. It is a huge indictment on the Tennessee Titans because it's become the worst franchise in football.
Right.
And tell me it's not, because you have the number one pick in the draft. So when you have the number one pick in the draft, you have the worst team right now. Right now they have the worst football team in the National Football League. So I don't blame NWI one bit for going to the Miami Dolphins to pursue a Super Bowl dream. He's a hell of a lot closer, Miami, than he will ever be in Nashville. And I think, to a broader point, Chase, you've put this up. We've talked about this a lot, is the apathy here with a lot of Titans fans. Yeah, a lot of them still care, but there's more and more who are, like, just checking out now. Or is like, all right, this is it, what's going to happen? And so I think it's a bad thing. I think it's just ran so badly in the last couple of years, it goes down. And now, to a further point, is you see these ex-Titans guys now signing big deals in the league. Theo Jackson, Overton High School, drafted by the Titans, gave up on him at 22. Looking at you, Mike Vrabel. And now he's become a great player with the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, and I mean, you can kind of decide who you want to blame there. But, I mean, Christian Fulton, he just signed a deal with the Chiefs. And, I mean, look, he's not a great player. But, I mean, he's obviously good enough that the Chiefs wanted him.
Yep.
It kind of goes back to, and I'm curious of how this is going to play in New England, that we always used to laugh and say you could figure out pretty easily who Vrabel liked and who he didn't.
Oh, yes.
And there were guys that they drafted or brought in. You know, Nate Davis was one. Christian Fulton was one. Now, I think he liked Elijah Campbell. Or Elijah, not Elijah Campbell. Elijah.
we all liked Elijah Campbell.
He's here somewhere.
Elijah Molden.
Elijah Molden. Thank you. I think he liked him. But, like, there were guys who was the middle linebacker?
Spillane?
No.
Jack Gibbons?
That he didn't like.
Oh, David Long.
David Long, yeah. You know, now they go elsewhere. And, again, they're not all pro, but they're serviceable, and they're getting, you know, other contracts. So, I mean, it's just like, as much as we praise Vrabel, and he deserves some of it, then there's the other times where it's like, well, you let a lot of good guys go just because you didn't like them.
Yeah. You're either in or you're out. And so I think he's going to be a disaster in New England. I think he'll take that same attitude up there. And now he's even more empowered because he's got the owner in his back pocket. So, and I just think his way of coaching guys, coaching evolves. You don't coach guys in 25 the way you coach them in 1975.
No.
You don't coach them in 1975 the way you coach them in 1995. We know coaches. We have good friends who are college coaches, pro coaches, high school coaches. They all will tell you that it evolves every 5 to 7 years, how you coach guys. That way he's not working for Vrabel in New England. Didn't work here.
Let me ask you this. Let's say you and I are on a football team. I would say that you and I would have to be coached differently.
Yeah.
Like, do you like a coach getting in your face and kind of being a little bit of an a-hole and pushing you?
Love that.
Right. I don't. And you can call me soft. You can, like, I'm more of a – I need to be motivated differently.
I'm also 18 years older than you.
Right. But I'm saying if we were the same age on the same team, the best coaches learn their players and learn how to coach them, not – hey, you're going to play for me. I'm going to coach you this way.
Right.
You better like it.
No,
that's what I'm saying. Like, Ken Wisenhunt was a prime example of he wanted his offense to be run his way, and if you didn't, then you sucked and you never deserved to play in the NFL again. That's why he's not in the NFL anymore.
Okay. I get that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to adapt to your players.
But I want to be coached hard. When I was a junior college, my coach hated me. But he knew I had some semblance of little talent and put me out there and play. When I was at Samford, the same thing. Just I like to be yelled at. I like to be told what I'm – I mean, it motivates me. I don't want the coach to be my buddy. I don't want to go to your cookout. I don't want to go play pool with you. You're a coach for a reason. And so coach me hard, but know deep down that you care about me, then I'm fine. I'm good to go. But, you know, when Vrabel's calling these guys out for being wussies, basically not tough enough – what are you going to do? You going to run through a wall for him then? You're not. You're going to get out of here. And these guys are cashing in the National Football League. That's why I think some of this, you should look at John Robinson and say, all right, you know, John, I know it was a disaster for A.J. Brown. I don't blame you for Isaiah Wilson. I blame you for Farley. I think you overreacted on Burks. But other than that, you drafted some new players who are still in the league doing that, who could or making a difference. So I'm all about John Robinson for that because it's proving out these guys are playing well in the National Football League.
So, I'm with you. And look, I think, and maybe Brian Callahan is too much the other way than Vrabel was, and that'll ultimately be his downfall. I don't know. I keep looking at him as, unfortunately, he's probably going to be the scapegoat, but they haven't given him a roster to succeed with. I mean, Rand Carthon didn't, and now Brinker and Borgonzi haven't to this point. And again, I know you hate it when I do this, but it's the only thing I know to do.
All right.
Barry Trotz was on with Jared yesterday.
Okay.
Barry Trotz has been very open and honest about this is the plan. And Jared even, in a question yesterday, said, you've been open about this, but correct me if I'm wrong. Your plan is you're going to build this team around the Molendykes and, you know, the young guys that we haven't necessarily seen yet. And you've brought in the older players like Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea to try and be competitive and give the fans something to cheer for in the meantime. But the ultimate plan is you're going to build a new core around the young guys. And he goes, yep, that's pretty much it. He's been very open about what the plan is for the Predators. The Titans, on the other hand, you feel like that's kind of the direction they're going, but they're not telling you that. And then they're making all these mediocre, not even less than mediocre moves where you're sitting there going like, holy crap, we're going to suck for the next 3-4 years, just like we have been.
Right.
And so I wonder if they took more of that open approach of, guys, you need to understand something. It's going to hurt for a minute, but this is the plan. We're going to go find a young quarterback. It may not be in this draft, but we're going to go find a young quarterback, and then we're going to build around that young quarterback. We're going to go find young receivers. We're going to go find a young running back that can take over for Pollard at some point. We're going to build this offensive line, and it's like you kind of are having to guess, is that what they're trying to do? And then the other part of it is, the difference is, the ownership of the Predators, they're on board with it. They're like, yeah, hey, we got it. Like, you missed this year. That's okay. We understand what the plan is.
And they missed bad.
Right. But we know what the ultimate plan is, and we're going to be patient to that. Whereas Amy Adams-Strunk has not been patient at all.
No, there's nothing. No, I see what you're saying, and I get that. But go back to Brian Callahan for a second. I mean, he's gone. If you go back to the season with Mac Jones and Cam Ward, Brian Callen's not here in January.
No.
So at what point does he go in and say, what the hell are you doing to me? You expect me to succeed with the guys you're bringing in here? You expect me to do this? He's not going to be here after January. If they get Mac Jones and Cam Ward, Brian Callen's not going to be here. And you know the plan.
Dude, he's
gonna
going to be gone forward. In November.
Yeah.
And, like, here's the thing.
Gone.
If that happens, and you've been very outspoken on him, but if we come on the show on a Monday, let's say after Thanksgiving, and we say Brian Callahan's been let go, can you honestly come on these airwaves, look into that camera, and say he was given a fair chance in his 2 years here? I can't.
No, you're right.
Whether he's been in over his head at times or made bad decisions, whatever, that comes with the territory of a young coach. I can't sit here at this point and say he was given a fair opportunity.
No, you're right. No, you're exactly right.
And if I'm another coach, now you can make the connections to Mike McCarthy and bringing him in or whatever, but if I'm another coach kind of looking around and saying, you know, hey, like – there's an opening there. I'm going to look at the Titans and go, man, they didn't give Brian a fair shake. What makes me think they're going to give
but
me a fair shake?
But if you got Cam Ward, you're like, well, Cam's already had a year in here. Now he knows what's going in the league. Now I'm good to go. When you're breaking a new quarterback in, it's not fair to Callahan at all.
Yeah.
I just don't – if they don't sign somebody, you know, is it Russell Wilson, Mac Jones, Aaron – I mean, who knows?
Right.
But you – right now there's one quarterback on the roster, and Will Levis.
Yeah. That's it.
So you draft Cam Ward, but I'm telling you, Cam Ward's going to start for you in September. And they're going to see, you know, throw him to the wolves, see what happens. Get that experience out there. And I don't blame him. You're paying him money, I don't blame him. Get out there. But you got to surround him with somebody. You got to surround him with somebody.
So there's a text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com, 615-737-1025. And, Mike, we'll get to your call coming up next, too. Carson texted in, Big Joe, let's play a game. Comparing two quarterbacks' first two seasons in the NFL. He doesn't give the quarterbacks. I'm kind of curious about this.
Okay.
I'll read the stat going into the break, and you think about it, and then he'll tell us who they are.
All right.
Player one, 19 games, 16 starts, 5-11 record, went 144 of 434, 2796, that's the yards, 15 touches, 12 interceptions.
Okay. Was this last year?
First two seasons in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
Player two, 15 games, 15 starts, 8-7, 176 for 340, of 348, 2391, 11 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Now, I'm curious of who these two players are.
I need a time frame. Is this Joe Namath, Johnny Unitas? Is this
he just
80s, 90s, first, 2000s?
First two seasons in the NFL is all he says.
Okay.
But he's listening. He'll answer some of those.
All right.
We'll do that. Much more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe. Again, we are live today at the Mellow Mushroom on Broadway for the SEC tournament. Also, Vanderbilt will take on Texas this afternoon, the 12 versus the 13. Pre-game at 2 o'clock. Tip off at 2:30. You can listen right here on 102.5 The Game or on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. And all of our SEC tournament coverage is presented by Toyota. Today through Friday, presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. Is this your song to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, listen to the words. Aaron, if you're listening, I will play this for you and I'll dance for you.
Do you think that I know who this is?
Yes.
Savage Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
90s.
Smart. Yeah.
90s.
But the beginning of the kicks in and it's a good band. And they.
Dr. Crane, had you ever heard that song?
I don't believe so, but I've heard of the band. I've heard of the group.
Okay.
Well, that song came out in 97. And what year were you born?
I was born in 98.
Yeah, there you go.
The song is older than me.
They had two good songs.
Yes.
Truly, Madly, Deeply, and then I Want You, I think.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Since 2007 is what Carson said on those quarterbacks. So we'll get back to that. I want to say this real quick, off subject, but I meant to do this at the beginning and I kind of forgot. So you know how Facebook will do like your Facebook memories?
Yeah, which is awful.
Tell you things. I couldn't believe this when I read this morning. 11 years ago today really changed my life.
Oh, that's right. It's on my Facebook too.
I became the executive producer of the Greg Pogue and Big Joe show.
And I'm proud of you because now you're the boss and you've done so great. But could you have started with two worse people than Greg Pogue and myself? I'm being honest. Guys who don't conform, who don't never put out a grid, and are just bitter at the world.
But it was funny. Like I worked with you guys. I was with George, Willie, and Darren before that. And then obviously spent a lot of time with Darren and Derek and then Willie again and before moving to on the air. But it was like you were with me. I was with you guys through the being told by somebody that wasn't qualified to do it that I wasn't good enough to do this, like, and be on the air and all that stuff. And I just kept working.
Right. That's right.
And you guys kept telling me, keep working.
That's
you know, forget what anybody says. Keep working. And so we had fun. got in trouble a couple times.
We did. But you never quit. And that's what I tell everybody. Don't quit. And you never quit. And you showed up every day and you worked hard. You asked questions. You kept going on. You showed initiative, which 88% of the people today don't show initiative.
Nope.
So you kept going on. And now 11 years later, you're the boss. And you earned every step of the way. You did not parachute in like, all right, here you go. So for Greg and I, it's kind of proud because you're like – you know, it was like two men and a baby, and you were like our little baby, and you grew up. But I'm telling you, I mean, you started, and, you know, and Darren and Willie and George are professionals, and they're great, but you started literally with two disasters in Greg and myself. I mean, the day Greg comes in the studio, and he's sick, and he's thrown up in the bathroom, and his gallbladder's going out on him, and I don't know what's going on there. I mean, all the stuff we went through, but on the air, we never quit. No. We never showed – that card, that hand. So good for you.
My favorite, people always ask me like what one of my favorite moments is. It's one where we got in trouble, but we were reading the was it the top 40 SNL?
Oh, yes,
because it was the 40th anniversary of SNL.
That's right.
And you were reading off like the top skits, or Greg was reading off the top skits, and he didn't censor himself on one about
Justin,
a box.
Justin Timberlake one, right?
Yeah, and we couldn't stop laughing. We lost it, and we had a little meeting about that afterwards.
And I got in trouble for laughing.
Yeah, well, so did I. So
yeah, that's right.
It's okay.
I was like, you know, and he just went over it. But this is going to turn to like a Greg Pogue thing, but for those of Greg, you love him. But, man, it was such an adventure with him.
The best part was – the one before it was Jane, you ignorant bleep.
Yes.
And he did censor himself.
Yeah, right. He did do that.
And then he goes, number three, bleep in a box.
Oh.
Somebody didn't say bleep.
And we had some fun moments. And with the Kevin Durant, we had Kevin Durant on the show. He had no idea where he was.
Nope.
Kevin Durant was awful. And so once we realized he had no idea what was doing, we just doubled down on him. And it was a great moment in radio. But the other one was when we had – to me, we had Alan Bestwick was on the show from NASCAR.
Yeah.
And he was irritated with us. He didn't want to be there. And then when it was over with, Greg's like, hey, Alan, thanks. And so Alan, in the middle of Greg saying goodbye, slams the phone down but misses the receiver. So it's this disaster going on there. He's trying to hang the phone up, and he's grumbling. I'm laughing so hard because I was like, this guy, I don't want to be here to do that. So that made me laugh. And then one more was we had Hannah Storm on from ESPN.
Yeah.
We asked two questions in a 16-minute interview. Two questions in 16 minutes.
Well,
I just sat back and
– to be fair, that was also coffee with the coach.
Yeah, right? So it was a good time. But congratulations, Chaser. Well done, buddy.
Thank you. Dr. Gray just texts us. He says, y'all are talking about him like he's dead. And I said he has been 3 years.
Greg, if you're listening, call in right now because we know you're listening on your way into your little thing that you do every day. So it was fun. We had a good time, but I'm glad you saw that, Chase.
Yeah.
I'm glad you saw how it should be done with Darren, Willie, and George, and I saw how you could get in trouble with Greg and myself.
Oh, yeah. consultant's dream right there. Let's go to Mike, who wants to weigh in on Cam Ward. Mike's been waiting patiently. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Hey, I can remember that show and laughing my butt off consistently. So, hey, Joe, you're always
turn, weren't you?
I appreciate it. Yeah, I was around.
Yeah, that's right. You survived.
Yeah, right.
Who is this? So, Mike, he was one of our interns.
Which, Mike, what were you? I mean, do I remember you, Mike?
Yes, you would remember him. He's had a couple of stints with us. We went to school together.
Me and you most recently met up at the Murfreesboro Ticket Meet and Greet at, what was the name of the bar?
Bourbon Bowl Bourbon. Well, you're Mike Lynch.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say your name on there. I don't care. Yeah, hey, Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, doing great.
Good.
Hey, so you guys just a minute ago were talking about how ultimately the Titans are going to screw up this quarterback decision again. And it led me to think, how many offensive coordinators did Marcus Mariota have when he was a quarterback coach? Same thing with Jake Locker. And I'm trying to think back. Like, so the only quarterback the Titans have ever, like, developed and actually had work out is Steve. And I'm starting to think to myself, like, the model that we have in place has screwed every single quarterback that we've had brought in since then. What makes us think that Cam would do really any different? We're going to be in the same boat where we're going to have this guy go out there, trot out there, play a full season, get murdered, and then come in with a new coach, a new OC, rinse and repeat, and we're going to be right back in the same boat 3-4 years. So, I mean, am I crazy to think that, like, this has been the same deja vu we've had for almost, what are we looking at? I'm trying to remember when Locker, we're like, what, 15 years? Is this how long it's been going on, the nightmare?
No, Locker was the quarterback, like,
12 through 14.
Yeah.
12 through 14.
Years ago.
So Mike, you make a good point. Hold on, Mike. We got Mariota in 15, had Wisenhunt, and then he got fired. Then they put Jason Michael in there as the OC. That's two. Then in 16, I'm talking about just coordinators. In 16, he had – wouldn't Rubisky take over from then?
Yep.
And then 18, he had Matt LaFleur. That's four. Then he had Arthur Smith, became five. So he had five offensive coordinators in the 5 seasons he had here. And the problem is, Mike, is that offensive coordinators move on. They get the jobs quickly, and they're gone. They're out of here. But you are so right. If Cam Ward comes here, thrown to the Wolves, Callen gets fired, starting – we're back a year ago. A year from now, we're doing the same thing.
Yeah, and the head coach is you know, it's same thing. I feel like we've almost – like, Marcus Mariota, I'm not saying that he was the perfect quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, but imagine if he could have got consistency out of one coach for a couple of years in a row, like, with no like, you know, abrupt changes or whatnot, like, things might have been different. I don't know. But, I mean, I just don't have any trust or faith that this organization can train and develop a – MVP caliber quarterback. I think we should just take Abdul Carter and try to trade and hope that something else down the pipe works better for us.
I don't think you're alone on that. Thanks for the call, Mike. Always appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Yeah. He makes some really good points.
Yep.
And I laugh when people are like, bring Marcus back.
Well, stop it.
Didn't we see enough of that?
I mean, just stop it. Yeah, I mean, no, it's not going to work.
Look, at this point, whoever you're bringing in is – quote-unquote competing. But I still sign up. Like, if they announce they've signed Jameis Winston to a 2-year deal.
I'm on.
But they're going to draft Ward. Draft Ward, and he never needs to sniff the field.
Stop saying that, because he's going to. They're not,
I know
they're
he's
not,
going
they're
to.
They're not sitting
it. I'm still going to say it. I'm going to keep beating the drum until one of these days they actually listen to me on that, because it works. Look at Green Bay. Green Bay's done it twice.
You think Amy Adams is going to sit a quarterback for 2 years?
No, but she's dumb if she doesn't. It works.
She's not.
It worked in her organization.
It's worked almost throughout history.
Right. Just, like, I don't understand it. Like, I don't care. You have to understand. Yeah, they're going to get paid. They're going to sit for a year. Whatever. It works. Just do it.
I'm with you. We laughed the other day, remember, about Rich Gannon, about – when I said he was with the Vikings for 6 years, you're like, what? No, I was like, he was.
Yeah.
And so, no, I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you.
Chad Brinker came from an organization where they've done it twice.
Right. But that's not the way the fan base wants. They'd be like, put Cam. It's about the now. And I don't blame them. It's about the now.
Who was it that said, if you keep listening to the fans, you're going to sit with the fans?
Is that Floyd?
It might have been Floyd.
I don't know.
A few people have said that, but it's the truth. We're live today at Mellow Mushroom on Broadway. We're going to be a lot of different places this week for SEC watch parties from 9 until 6 o'clock today. Then tomorrow we're at Assembly Food Hall, which is just across Broadway. Then we're at the pub in the Gulch on Friday. So check out thegamenashville.com/events for more information on that. On-site coverage of the SEC tournament is presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com. Volunteer hose and gasket.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game on this Wednesday at the Mellow Mushroom on Broadway.
Excited to be here and to hang out as well. And we'll be, like I said, all over downtown. We do have the quarterbacks that were mentioned.
Okay.
From Carson. Player one, and again, I'll give you the stats again real quick. 19 games, 16 starts. This is their first two seasons in the NFL. 5-11, 144 of 434, 2796, that's their yards, 15 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Player two, 15 games, 15 starts, 8-7 record, 176 of 348, 2391, 11 touches, 13 interceptions. Player one, Jamarcus Russell.
Okay.
Player two, Anthony Richardson. Y'all were talking about AR being a bust and Indy giving up on him, so I thought I would compare the stats between the two.
No, we didn't. This was John McClain talked about that.
Yeah.
But Anthony Richardson, far.
Look, I was never high on him coming out of Florida.
No, he was a combine warrior that they loved. Now, Jamarcus Russell, guy.
Yeah.
Give me a name. At LSU, I saw him at beat Tennessee in 2006. He was a damn good college quarterback. There's a reason they took him number one. Now, the work ethic wasn't there, and, you know, he was there partly under Saban and Les Miles at LSU, but his offensive coordinator the entire time that Jamarcus Russell was there was Jimbo Fisher.
Right.
So he had the continuity, and I was told, and not from many people, Jimbo rode his ass every day, was so hard on him and everything else. Then he goes to the Raiders. Was that – who was the Raiders coach at draft? Was that Kiffin?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Because Kiffin replaced Bill Callahan, right? Am I wrong on this?
No.
Is there a bridge in between Kiffin?
Didn't Art Shell come back?
Maybe. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were a few.
But Russell had talent. He just didn't want to work. And that was the problem. So I think Anthony Richards got talent, but he just never proved that he's a good quarterback. You saw that going back to Florida. But thank you for the stat there, buddy. We're looking over. The gates are about to open. The doors at Bridgestone Arena. There's a ton of people out there. 80% of the people, you can guess which college they're rooting for.
A lot of blue.
There's a lot of blue. A little red over there.
See a little red mixed in, which could be like – four teams.
Yeah, but God bless you, Kentucky fans, man.
See some orange already.
I wish I was that loyal on a program or anything, but Kentucky fans here in full numbers already.
Some yellow. Is that Missouri?
But
a lot of blue.
Maybe Vanderbilt, buddy.
Nah, it's not that. It's not that type of gold.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, bud. So no new knees.
No new knees either.
On the Titans front, they signed Van Jefferson this morning, former Ravenwood product. Is coming back home on a one-year deal with the Titans. Chase reported earlier, was it Terry McCormick that had this out there about NWI had the kind of a comparable deal with the Titans and chose the Dolphins?
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, you got to – it's more stable. I don't know how stable. I mean, I think they've underachieved quite a bit, and the quarterback can't stay healthy.
Isn't that more fun, though?
But it's a lot more stable, you know, to go there. Now, they're in a position where, you know, and we loved Mike McDaniel on this show. They're in a position where they got to – it's time to, you know, get it done or get out. Like, they got to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Oh,
like
no
they
doubt.
They have to do something.
And they showed a little at the end of last year, a little momentum going in doing this. Let me ask you this. 1993 is when the real big free agency period started. Who's the greatest free agent signing, you think, of all time in the last 32 seasons?
Who's the what?
Greatest free agent signing.
Like of any team?
Overall, NFL. Who's the best free agent signing ever?
Brady in Tampa Bay?
You missed. That's number two, but you're missing one who changed everything.
Peyton Manning in Denver.
Nope.
I don't know.
Reggie White.
Yeah. Okay.
Leaving the Eagles. At the end, you know, you watch the documentary about him. It's not like Green Bay came in out of left field, and then it really turned everything around because Favre had just been there or just got there. Sterling Sharp was rolling. And then Reggie White came there, and, of course, they won the went to two Super Bowls.
It was it was a necessary thing that, I mean, it created more parity for sure.
Yeah. But he left a very – how and why the Eagles did not win a Super Bowl from, like, 86 to, like, 92 or 93. I know the Giants won two in that time. I know the Redskins won one. The 49ers were good. But the Eagles were – I mean, Jerome Brown and Reggie White and Seth Joyner. And I'm leaving so many guys out.
Was Jerome Brown the one that died in the car wreck?
Yes, he was. He was so good.
Randall Cunningham.
I mean, it's just.
And then Chris Carter early
Chris
on.
Carter, yeah. And then Buddy Ryan cut him.
Yep.
And Chris Carter says Buddy Ryan saved his life.
Yep.
Because he had such a bad drinking problem. But that's the thing that goes on there. So, you know, of course you want that splash that happens. But so far today, it's kind of quiet on the Titans front.
It is, except for Van Jefferson. And, look, we like to point out, you know, when these guys have Middle Tennessee connections and played high school football here, so that's obviously cool to see. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is. Also do a quick preview of the SEC tournament and celebrity birthdays. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're live today at Mellow Mushroom on Broadway. The SEC tournament will get underway a little over an hour. Things will be going. They're about to – I think they're opening. The doors look like they're open. The sea of blue and maybe a little other color starting to work their way in. But come by Mellow Mushroom and see us. We're here all day till 6 o'clock. They have drink specials, $5 Miller High Life, $5 Sangria, and Dulce Vita Tequila. And all week long, if you have an SEC tournament ticket, you'll get 10% off your bill. So check that out here at Mellow Mushroom on Broadway. Here's what we got on tap for today with the SEC tournament. Game number one at noon will be Arkansas, the 9 seed, against South Carolina, who is the 16 seed. And then after that, around 2:30, Vanderbilt takes on Texas, a 12 and a 13. Tonight, the night session, Mississippi State, the 10 seed, LSU, the 15 at 6. And then after that, the 11 seed, Georgia, against 14, Oklahoma. Tomorrow, the winner of game one will take on Ole Miss at noon, who's an 8 seed. The winner of Vandy, Texas, will take on Texas A&M after that. Then the night session, the winner of LSU, Mississippi State, will take on Missouri. And the winner of Oklahoma, Georgia, will take on Kentucky. So
full day.
Tennessee, Florida, and Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, and Alabama all have the double bye and won't play until Friday.
Well earned.
Yep. So that's how it goes here at the SEC tournament. But we're excited to be downtown and in the mix. And all of our coverage is presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. With that, let's do something. Let's get to celebrity birthdays. It is presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards, the only company you need for commercial construction services. Visit them at JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
All right, gentlemen, first on the list, we have Girl Scout Day. So shout out to the Girl Scouts and the Girl Scout cookies. Tagalongs are phenomenal. National Alfred Hitchcock Day is today. National Baked Scallops Day. Not a scallops guy.
Yummy.
National Milky Way Day. Delicious candy. Let's see. National Plant a Flower Day. Yeah, that's plant nice. A flower. National Working Moms Day. Shout out to the moms.
Hell yeah.
National No Smoking Day. That's celebrated in the United Kingdom. Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day. So there's that. And to wrap it up, we have World Day Against Cyber Censorship. So, all right.
Okay.
Look, man, we don't need United Kingdom days because we kicked their butt back in 76. So we just need
1976.
All right. Got that, Dr.
I mean, 1776.
76.
Noted going forward.
Also, you'll eat Milky Ways but not baked scallops?
Yeah, why not? Milky Ways are delicious. The caramel glaze inside, it's delicious.
Okay. All right. Got you there, buddy. All right.
Scallops are a little iffy. Maybe with pasta.
Hey, man, you had your time to talk.
Sorry.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. We'll start on the sports side of things today.
Oh,
since we're down here at the beautiful Mellow Mushroom. I mean, I'm telling you.
It's a perfect view.
It is beautiful, and it's perfect. Thank you, Lance, for setting this up. This is wonderful. All right, our first birthday today.
Can't wait till you're here.
How old is Johnny Rutherford? Former IndyCar driver, yeah. Johnny Rutherford.
81.
80.
89. Yeah. Next up, my favorite baseball player of all time, the greatest baseball player of all time, Dale Murphy.
65.
68.
69. Nice.
Well done there, Nick. Next, man, he was so good to watch, and now he's living for the Lord. Daryl Strawberry.
64.
65.
63. We're tied at one. Then former Major League pitcher, baseball player Steve Finley. I believe he was on the 01 Diamondbacks team that won the World Series. Great left-handed pitcher.
56.
59.
60. Except 2-1. ESPN broadcaster Steve Levy. Big hockey guy.
Yeah. Buddy with Pete Weber. 61.
58.
60. We're tied at two. If you've watched NBA back in the 90s, you love this guy from the T-Wolves. J.R. Isaiah Ryder was a great basketball player to have in a fantasy basketball league.
65.
63.
54. Casey Mears.
Race car driver?
Yep.
45.
40?
47. Chase up 3-2. He grew up down there in Marshall County, played for Alabama. Mike Vrabel just fired him. Dante Hightower.
47.
38.
35. 47. Dante Hightower. All right, now we get to the celebrities. Liza Minnelli. How old is Liza Minnelli today? And a bonus point, which you don't get, you tell me who her mom was.
I don't know who her mom was. 67.
60.
79. Dr. Craig, did you know who Liza Minnelli's mother was?
I don't.
Do you even know who Liza Minnelli is?
No, all I hear is Millie Vanilli when you say that.
Her mom was Judy Garland from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's 3-2, Chase. Next up, James Taylor. How old is James Taylor today?
77.
78.
77, dead on. The great actor Aaron Eckhart. He was in Brockovich. He was also in Sully.
Was in the
Batman, right? Two-Face.
Yeah, he was Two-Face.
Two-Face. Aaron Eckhart.
56.
50.
57. Chase up 6-2. So, Nick, all you can do now is tie if Chase doesn't get these next two.
Perfect.
Marlon Jackson of the Jackson 5. How old is Marlon Jackson?
73.
74.
68. And our last birthday, fitting that we're on Broadway because her granddad and her dad are legends, Holly Williams. How old is Holly Williams?
44.
58.
At the buzzer, Chase McCabe. She is 44 years old. Oh. Well done, Chase. You got two right today. Two all dead on.
Thank you. That is going to do it for us, but don't worry. We're going to be here all day. Adam is here ready to go. DVD is up next, and then you can hear Vanderbilt on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jared will be here as well. You can come watch the game, hang out here if you're not going to the game. But we're excited to be downtown all week and appreciate all these great places for having us. And also, of course, Toyota, our presenting sponsor, Guinness, thenewcumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle ATV.
Yeah, and come up here to Mellow Mushroom. It's right next to the arena. Great food, great view. Man, it's beautiful today. And that's the message today to our guys out there. If you are struggling again today, we always talk about how you can call or text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you, and we always tell you to please talk to somebody. But today, if you can, get outside. walk for 30 minutes, walk around, breathe the fresh air. This is a beautiful day that God has given us. Let's take advantage of it. We're always here for you. We know that we love you guys, and to keep going forward. We talked earlier about Chase's career, never quitting, never quit, and we need you here. Our world is a better place because you are here. Know that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.